Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Sanjay Touré and another episode of Office Evolution Radio. Sanjay, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and how are you?
Doing well. We're getting in the swing of things right now.
Yep, on our second show now.
And have you had the coffee yet? It's delicious.
I haven't. Is it really?
It's fantastic.
I need to try it then.
All right, you got to try it after the show. I'll treat you to a cup.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Or actually, Andy will treat you to a cup. So today we have with us Larry Chambres, and he is with Totem Risk. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about Totem Risk. How are you serving folks?
Sure. So Totem is a risk tolerance solution for financial advisors and their clients and your everyday investor.
So that's for, so you work for everybody. So I'm an investor, so you're going to help me manage my risk as an individual?
That's the whole idea. So we got into this space because I've been in the industry over 20 years and my partners have 20, 30 years experience in the industry as well in the financial markets. And the one thing that we found was when we were looking through all these risk tolerance questionnaires, whether they were online or a piece of paper that a financial advisor was handing us, they all looked similar. They were all asking the same questions.
Sure.
And they were all based on psychometric preferences. Mm-hmm. And what we found was psychometric preferences change all the time. So if I could take a questionnaire in the morning and the sun's out, I'm having a great day and the markets are up, I'm going to score higher or I'm going to come out more aggressive. If even in the afternoon, I could take that same questionnaire and it could be raining out, I could be having a bad day and the markets could be down, I'm going to score lower or I'm going to be more conservative. So what was happening is all these financial advisors or online tools were putting a score to that, risk score to that, and then scoring it to your portfolio and saying this should be a match. Well, if your preferences change all the time, how is that a match?
Right, how is that possible?
It's not. It's impossible. And it's not accurate. So we set out to improve the risk tolerance questionnaire and fix it.
So now, it's an interesting field to get into because I would think people have different risk tolerances for different things. Like I might drive fast on the highway, but I might only buy CDs for my investments, right? Or like, is there any correlation between my behavior in other areas and what I'll put my money in?
Absolutely. So when we looked at all the risk metrics, you could look at constraints, preferences, appetite, probabilities, behaviors, and capacity. And we narrowed it down to capacity because what we found was on average annually, every household or person has one life event that impacts their overall investment objective. And that was our aha moment. Mm-hmm. So we score.
Like what's an example of one of those events?
So what we look at is everything from your health, the health of your dependents, to where you live, your zip code, and then the data behind that zip code. Everything from cost of living to real estate prices to apartment prices, depending on whether you own or rent, what sectors you work in, and how that sector is correlated back to that zip code. So we're looking at a lot of different life events and information based on what's happening in your life today, more mm-hmm. of a life situation risk score. So what we do is we score the preference to find out how much risk you're willing to take, and then we score the risk capacity to show you how much risk you can take based on your life situation.
So now there are some people that think that they can take risks and then the market drops, 20%, and then you see for sure what kind of risk they can take, right?
Absolutely. And with the bull market that we've had, everyone's risk preference is pretty high these days, but the risk capacity is showing us something different. So that way we could also score the portfolio and show that the portfolio should be in between these two risk scores, but really closer to risk capacity because it has that 12-month time frame.
Now, what is that quote by Mike Tyson? Everybody has a plan until I get punched in the face.
That's right.
So that's the same philosophy you guys...
Well, we're trying to get rid of that philosophy and say, don't wait till you get punched in the face. Let's get ahead of this and look at where the markets are headed, or even take the markets out of it completely and just let's look at your overall risk based on your life situation. And that helps us and helps the financial advisors and investors appropriately manage their portfolio and avoid that downside.
So now we were talking a little bit about individuals, but are most of your clients like companies, like people that run financial advising firms?
They are. Most of them are financial advisors, whether they're with an independent broker-dealer, a registered investment advisor. And then we're also working directly with institutions that have their own client portals for their investors, whether it's Schwab or Fidelity or TD Ameritrade, as well as some of the robo-advisors that were coming in to help them fix that risk solution that they have out
right.
there.
Right, like I think my kid's on Wealthfront.
Yes.
Right? So he's 20 years old, 21 years old, and they made him fill out, six questions?
That's the problem with them. They're saying, here's Wealthfront or Betterment or any of these other online tools. Let me ask you your age, your income, your investable assets in your time horizon, and then boom, they put you into a portfolio.
Right.
Good luck.
So now, you're not in the broker business necessarily. You're there just as a tool for these advisory firms to help them serve their clients better.
Correct. We're a financial technology, or what they call fintech product for financial advisors in the financial advisor community. Yes.
So you're not competing with them at all. You're just trying to help them be better at their job.
That's exactly right. We're trying to help them be better at their job and help their investors reach their financial goals by implementing the right risk tool. So we had one client who was a financial advisor, and he came back to us and he said, during the down market in 2007, 2008, if he wasn't using a risk tool, his clients would have been down 40%. But because they used the risk tool, they were only down 20%, and they were able to recap that their money faster than anyone that was not using a risk tool at that time.
Now, just as a general kind of risk tolerance of the people in general, are most people high risk, medium risk, low risk? Like, what is the typical?
Really, there's no typical person. They're all over. We could see an 80-year-old person that has high risk, but they may have enough money, high net worth person that can take on that much risk. So even their risk capacity could be high. But we've also seen, a 60 or 70-year-old person that has a lot of money but doesn't want to take on a lot of risk. They want to be very conservative. So it depends on the person and their life situation.
It was interesting. In my family, my father and my father-in-law are both about the same age. And my father-in-law only invested in CDs. Like, he was total risk averse, like only wanted sure things. And my father, he was in the stock market. He had a broker that was really aggressive and would way more aggressive than what he, in my mind, for his amount of money that he was investing. He was like rolling the dice constantly.
Right.
And I'll never forget in the 1987 when they had the big crash, he called me up like it sounded like someone died. Like it was like they were doing margin calls, and it was a very traumatic experience for him. And I remember living through that. And then, as typically happens in those kind of bad situation, they recover, and then most people kind of can survive that if you don't panic during that crisis time.
That's right. That's where the financial advisor comes in, to help them not panic,
right,
but also help them not take on that much risk,
right? To begin with. So, but it was interesting. They both grew up in the Depression, and they both lived through that same childhood of seeing that happen. But they both took two different paths in their financial kind of investment strategies going forward.
That's right. And that's what we see with our tool. Whether it's somebody that's right out of college or someone that's older or middle aged, it's the risk tolerance is, whether it's a preference or capacity, it's all over the place. Again, it depends on a lot of those factors. And what we've added recently is about 100 different variables based on life events on the back end, because no one really likes to take a risk questionnaire or even take a survey. So we consolidated it down to 11 questions, but what we wanted to do is add more to it to be a little bit more robust. So we added those 100 variables in the back end and started to pull in data from other resources. We partner with IBM. We're working with Google and Amazon, and they have all this what they call population analytics. So all that information that you're putting out there on all your social media, they're collecting that, right?
Sure.
So we could pull that in, and if any event happens in your life and it triggers one of those variables, it'll update that risk capacity score for them. So the whole idea with machine learning is hopefully 12 to 18 months from now, we could eliminate the risk questionnaire completely and just put in your name and phone number or your name and address, and we produce a risk questionnaire, a risk score for you or your scores with a narrative and the data points. And if any of those data points are off, you would just update those in for the financial advisor.
And then the financial advisor then can recommend investments that match that. So it's congruent, right? So you're not out of whack.
That's correct. So the financial advisor could add their own financial portfolio models mm-hmm. into Totem and then compare those scores with those models to the scores of the risk scores for that client.
And then you're agnostic. You don't care if a person is high risk, high capacity, low capacity. That's meaningless to you. You're just trying to make people aware and educate them about what they are so then they can kind of match up the investment with what they are.
Exactly right. Because if you look at some of the examples in the scenario that we see, you'll see that someone could be very risk averse and with their preference, but their risk capacity could be higher. So they should be taking on a little bit more risk. And the reason they should take on more risk is to possibly meet their financial goals. Mm-hmm. If they're not taking on enough risk, they could possibly never hit their financial goal for retirement.
And that's part of the kind of the algorithm that an individual has to go through is, look, if I want to retire at this age, then I'm going to have a return. And then in order to have a return that high, there's going to be some risk.
Absolutely. That's right. And what we were always looking at is different data that we're pulling in. So if we see a new resource or new data that's coming in that needs to be updated, our quant analyst we'll then review that information and then update our quant models in the back end. We started around 20, 30 pages, and most recently we were up to about 70 pages of a quant
wow.
document. Yeah, they're brilliant. They're all PhDs. They've been in the industry for 30 years, so it's not you're just 1 + 2 equals
right.
3 risk tool. We're really trying to help the financial advisors and their clients achieve their goals by measuring their risk appropriately.
So now where does a portfolio that is just like, say, the Vanguard S&P index fund or something like that, like where is that in a risk kind of continuum?
No, great question. So the S&P that comes up quite often, we score from 1 to 99 on our risk scale, and the S&P index comes up around a 70 to 72.
So that's pretty high risk.
A little bit higher, yes.
What's
yes.
like cryptocurrency?
Well, 99. 99? Yeah, if you put in GBTC, the grayscale Bitcoin trust fund, that's a 99, yes. They're
that's
high
99.
Risk. For now, what we really look at with our models is we're looking at data going back to the year 2000, mm-hmm. and we're looking at total daily returns over that time. We want to see at least 2 market cycles, 2 inflationary periods, 2 interest rate periods. We haven't seen an inflationary period since the 80s, but it's baked into our algorithm. And what we want to find is what's the total potential downside they're willing to take over that 12-month period. So again, there's a lot of data there. And if you look at Bitcoin, you don't have that data going back as far. So what we like to do is proxy it to an index or proxy it to something that's similar to Bitcoin, but Bitcoin's not, there's nothing out there. So
right.
that's going to be leveraged. It's going to be very, very
so
risky.
So what is like gold?
Good question. I don't know what gold is, but I'm sure gold is probably in the 30s or 40s. And gold's a great time. That was a great time to buy gold. yeah, gold's been down for quite a while. It's starting to come back. And with the uncertainty in the markets recently, I feel that more and more financial advisors are starting to call us because we've been in the bull market and no one's really cares about it. But
right.
as soon as they're starting to see a little correction,
and they don't ring
the
bell
calls.
When the market's going to go down.
No. And looking at some of the statistics, and we're always looking at numbers at Totem, you have the everyday consumer now is $1 trillion more in debt than they were back in 2008. We have 74 million people have more credit card debt than emergency savings. And then most recently, Forbes came out just earlier this week and said 7 million people are 90 days late on their auto payments. So if I'm a financial advisor, I may want to review their risk assessment again.
So now, is the car payment, does that correlate like the housing, like as the housing? I mean, the housing was more of their net worth and more of their funds, but does that correlate like the housing crisis?
I wouldn't say it correlates exactly to the housing crisis. That was completely different. That was one of your 100-year floods that hopefully we'll never see again, but it is a risk factor.
Because that same thing was happening with housing, right? Weren't people getting more and more delinquent?
They were. They were. Yeah. And it, between credit cards and auto payments, it's kind of a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the Fed will keep interest rates low. And I think that's the only thing that reason why we see the markets up today.
Mm-hmm. And then so the Fed has a lot to do with some of this risk too, right?
Absolutely. So the Fed will definitely look at all these statistics and make sure that if they do increase risk interest rates, what's that going to do to the everyday consumer?
Now, in your business, what is the hardest part? Is it just letting people know there's another option for them? Because they, like you said, most of them are just kind of doing by this paint by numbers assessment that they've done because they've always done it that way.
Yes. When I got into the space, I realized that only 33% of financial advisors were using a risk tool, which was scary.
Any at all? Like they weren't using any risk tool?
They were
a conversation, say, here, you should invest in this.
That's exactly right. They were saying, I know my clients well enough that I should be able to
it's
appropriate
intuitive
their risk. Yeah, it's a relationship. I've known them for a while.
Wow,
and I'm saying,
that's
good.
Fascinating.
If you call FINRA or the SEC or any compliance director,
right on
I'm sure they're not going to agree with you.
Wow, that's amazing. So two-thirds don't do any type of assessment?
No, or they'll say they have their own way of assessing their clients, which
like
again,
what kind of car they drive is
it's
their
like
model.
More like they went through the financial plan and came back and said, oh, yeah, we have an idea of what their risk is.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think that works that well. And it's not. What happened even in 2008 is they wind up in arbitration.
Right.
Whether it's the financial advisor or these robo tools, they're going to have to realize that you have to assess the risk appropriately and accurately. Otherwise, these clients, your clients and investors are going to come back to you, whether it's a 5% loss or a 50% loss, and say, why did this happen?
Right.
And if you don't have
a good
documentation with where their risk was to assess them in that portfolio, that's when you start having lawsuits.
Now, is that something that is there for your firm, a kind of a good housekeeping seal that says that this assessment is something that will get you off the hook in those situations?
It is. So we've talked to SEC law firms. We've filed with FINRA. We're on a FINRA compliance directory. We do everything that we can to be regulated with those, the SEC and FINRA, as well as meeting with large institutions. The first thing they want to have come in after we go through the, hey, this is who we are and what we do, their compliance legal team comes in and says, okay, we need to look under the hood here. Show us your quant model. Show us how the algorithms work. Mm-hmm. And that's when they say, yeah, this is superior to anything we've seen out there.
Okay. And then, so when that's the case, so if the market does crash and then the people go at them and try to do mediation, this is some evidence they can have on their side that says, look, we did this assessment. This was appropriate for where you're at. Like this wasn't some,
right,
I
this
could
is,
tell by your, you know, jacket that you should take high risk.
That's right. This is the totem risk is the best insurance policy for a financial advisor and for their clients, because mm-hmm. you're getting more of a risk band than just one number and saying this is where you should be.
Right.
So you're looking at the overall thing. Now, when I speak with SEC attorneys, they say one number is definitely not going to hold up an arbitration. Two numbers, especially based on life situations and life events, more facts than feelings, that's going to hold up better in arbitration, but nothing's bulletproof.
Right. It's not a guarantee, but it's at least more ammunition on your side.
It is.
So now, so that's your objective now, is to get in front of more advisors and institutional investing firms and things like that?
Yes, it's across the good thing about our business is a lot of fintech tools are kind of, they're stuck with just managing or selling directly to just wealth managers. We could sell across the whole financial services industry because everybody needs to look at risk, whether they're walking into a bank and they're talking to a bank rep, an insurance agent that is looking at their overall insurance as well as their portfolio, and then your financial advisor. So really across the board, we're getting calls from everyone.
Now, I know your team has a lot of experience in this space. So how is that how you're getting your clients? Is through word of mouth and your own network?
It is. So we have we've been in the industry, each of us, at least 20 plus years. So we have a strong network in the industry. We know a lot of the people at a lot of the custodians and broker dealers and banks. And also my first job out of college was with IBM. So I've been working well with IBM and their financial services. And of course, they're very strong in the banking and insurance sector. So they see what we're doing and how that could benefit their clients. And they're making some introductions for us as well.
So now, are you speaking at conferences and going to trade shows, or like how do you sell this thing?
Yeah, so I just came back from 3 weeks straight on the road. I went from Dallas, Texas. It was a T3 Technology fintech show, and then we went to TD Ameritrade, had their conference link out in San Diego, and then right after that was IBM Think up in San Francisco. So yeah, we're out there talking to everyone from your everyday financial advisor to the large institutions about how we could implement this through our open and REST APIs and our cybersecurity to cover that the needs for any hacking, but really getting the word out there to through these conferences and then. You know, we have the ability, you could go online, you could schedule a demo, you could test and trial the product to make sure it's the right fit for you. And we're also working on integrations with other fintech providers and other tools that financial advisors have to make it a simple, efficient workflow for them.
So it'd be kind of like white labeled as part of whatever their offering is. They wouldn't even know that it's your firm that's doing that.
That's exactly right.
And so you're looking for that opportunity. Like, you don't care if your name's on it, right, as long as they're using the service?
Exactly right. And it's subscription-based, so they could pay monthly or annually. And it's really inexpensive. We start at $79 a month or $700 annually. And then if you have over 300 clients, it goes up to $99. So it's really inexpensive. And we're coming out with just the risk tool alone. So if the advisors don't need the analytics and the models and the reports and investment policy statements, they could just select the risk tool.
And then you mentioned for an individual, how does that even work?
Well, the advisor white labels it and sends
and then
it to
an individual.
That's right. And it's also mobile friendly. We found that 65% of the advisor's clients are taking the risk questionnaire via mobile. So we consolidated it into a quick two.
So they just like bam, bam.
Yep. And it's done.
And then they get it instantly, the result, or it just goes to the advisor and then the advisor that informs them on their investment.
That's right. The advisor receives an email and updates the information within Totem, and they could see all their scores and then contact that prospect or client.
And then it'll go into their investment. Then they can compare the investment that they recommend with their risk tolerance to make sure it's aligned.
Absolutely.
That's how they would use it.
That's exactly right.
So if somebody wanted to learn more and have more substantive conversation, website?
Yep, it's totemrisk.com. It's TOTUM risk. It's not your totem pole. It's totem, the Latin word, based on all the whole. So we're looking at all the whole risk.
Good stuff. Well, Larry, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was enjoyable.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Sanjay Torre. We'll see you all next time on Office Evolution Radio.